My name is Tracy Melissa Wheaton, and I am a program and technology specialist for InSource. I'm here with Bridget Savinsky, who is the director of First Steps for Northeast Indiana. And we're here today to discuss her organization. First off, good afternoon, Bridget, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, Tracy, thanks so much for having me. It's always kind of fun to be able to share some of the exciting things that are happening in early intervention today.
Well, thank you for being here, and it really is our pleasure to have you. I know that my children have accessed First Steps in the past, we have found it extremely helpful in identifying some of the concerns we had about my son's development. But just for the folks out there who don't know a lot about First Steps, tell me, you know, what it is that First Steps actually does.
Well, First Steps is Indiana's early intervention program for children under the age of 3. So we actually work with children birth to 2 who might have a developmental delay. They're not quite meeting some of their milestones that they should be, or they might actually have a diagnosis. They might have been born premature. They might have a diagnosis of Down syndrome or spina bifida. And we work with those children just to kind of make sure that the families have the information that they need about their child's development and ways to encourage their child.
What does that look like? I mean, you work with the parents in an evaluative context, or, you know, what kind of how do you work with those children?
Well, actually, do you want me to kind of talk about our process a little bit for how a family gets enrolled, or just a little bit more about the therapy part of it?
We can talk about the process. That would be fantastic.
Okay. So if a family has a concern, we always say trust your instinct, because as parents, we know more about our infants and toddlers than anybody else does. So if you're gut is telling you that your child just doesn't seem to be developing or reaching some of the milestones that they should be reaching, we say contact your local First Steps office. And what will happen is they will set up a time to meet with you in your home or at work and kind of get a little background about your baby, your infant, your toddler, how they're doing. And we do a basic screen. We get some birth history information, but really we're really focusing on the development and what your concerns are. And then we work with therapists to come up with the 2 or 3 therapists that we think can address your concerns. So we might have a physical therapist if you have some motor questions. We might have a speech therapist if you also have some language questions. Come out to your home or to the daycare where your child is at and actually do a formal evaluation and assessment to look at where they are developmentally. If then they're development is significantly enough delayed that they fit our eligibility criteria, then we're going to sit down with you as the parent and talk to you about what we can offer to address some of your concerns. We'll help you write some really good developmental outcomes and goals for your child, and we call that an individual family service plan. And then from that, we'll help you get the providers in your home to work with you and the child, or to work with your daycare provider and the child, and then maybe work with you also maybe once a month at home on ways to really encourage your child.
That's outstanding. Thank you for explaining that so succinctly. I know when I first had my son Max evaluated by the First Steps program, it was a wonderful experience from beginning to end. I felt just really well informed. The people who came out to evaluate him for you know, hearing and things of that nature were really great. I mean, they were very engaging, just first-rate professionals. My experience with First Steps was outstanding from beginning to end. Just wanted to throw that in there.
we always love to hear comments from parents, and especially when they're positive. So thank you, Tracy.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm curious to know, when was First Steps founded and by whom?
Well, actually, you know, as we looked at early intervention in general, actually, early intervention's been around a long time. But the federal government in the early 90s started doing a lot, learning a lot more about and getting more information about brain development. And that's when the big surge came on about an infant and how rapidly the brain grows during the first 3 years of life. And as the federal government was looking at this and at all the research that supported early intervention, they actually set up a program, Part C, for infants and toddlers through IDEA, for states to participate in. And they gave encouragement to states to participate by, you know, attaching some dollars there. So all of the states participate in what's called Part C, the early intervention program. Indiana's early intervention program is called First Steps. So about in the mid-90s, First Steps kind of became Indiana's logo program for children with special needs or children who have significant developmental needs under the age of three, that we know if we can get in there with early intervention and get some good hands-on therapy going and really help the family and give them some tools to encourage their child's development, that many times we can help the family get their child on the right path for learning in the future.
You know, such was the case with my son Max. We it was an interesting kind of situation. We'd noticed that, you know, he wasn't saying much right around the age of 18 months, 2 years. He just wasn't talking very much. And we had called First Steps, and I believe a speech therapist came out, and or I don't know if it was a therapist, but someone came out and did the evaluation for him, and they evaluated just sort of where he was at in terms of his development, not just speech, but other things as well. And they definitely felt like he had had a history of ear infections, and they definitely felt like he should probably go have a hearing test. So that was the next piece. You know, he went and had a hearing evaluation. Sure enough, there was some problems there. So we talked a little bit about with the First Steps folks, and they had said, you know, a lot of people have had success with having tubes inserted, you know, surgically in the kid's ears, and that helps to drain away fluids, and slowly the scar tissue begins to heal, and sooner or later the kids are hearing, and their hearing is good or better than new, and as they start to hear the words, then they start to be able to talk and form words and express, you know, their thoughts. And it was so fascinating because really within days after his surgery, you could tell that he was looking around at things and saying things and hearing things, you know, that, I mean, everything was very new to him. He wasn't ignoring us anymore. I mean, all this time we had thought, well, he's just not interested. Well, he wasn't hearing. And it took First Steps to help us figure that out. And from there, he received the services of a speech therapist. She was wonderful. Judith, I believe her name was. And for just about a little over a year, year and a half. And boy, now he's talking like crazy. And I would even venture to guess that he's a bit ahead of the curve now, at least verbally. So again, just wanted to share what a good experience that was for us.
And again, it is so important if we can start early. And that's what a lot of the research shows, because as that brain continues to develop during those first 3 years, that's when you can have the greatest impact. So you are obviously have a wonderful success story for Max, and that's great.
It's so great to be the beneficiary of this wonderful service. How does a parent go about getting assistance from First Steps? I mean, where do they contact you? How do they contact you?
Well, they can actually do it a number of ways. They can contact their local First Steps office if they, you know, are listed. I believe all of them are listed in the local phone books. But there also is a state website and a state phone number. The state phone number is 800-441-STEP. And that number can direct them to where their area First Steps office is located. And they can contact them, and that First Steps office will get a coordinator out to the home to just kind of walk them through the process and let them know how things will occur. And we try and just because we know the process for us takes 45 days from the time of the referral till we get the plan actually written if the child is eligible and services started. That's 6 weeks. That's a long time. So we like to move as quickly as possible, but sometimes things take a while. But we just know that 45 days is so crucial. So when families call, that is our goal. In fact, that really is the law. We have 45 days to get the eval finished, eligibility determined, and the plan written.
Yeah, and I believe in our case it was actually much quicker than that.
I think you will find most people in early intervention try really hard to work quickly, trying not to miss anything, but at the same time, just knowing that those any more weeks you can add to the therapy for the child is just crucial.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. Now, Bridget, what is the cost, if any, to parents of children who participate in First Steps?
Well, there is a cost for families, but there are a couple of things that are at no cost to the family, and that's kind of what's being protected by Part C, and that is our child find activities to identify the children, all evaluations that we do for the family's child. So if the family calls and says, I think my child has a motor delay, he's just not walking, he's 18 months and he's not walking, we would have a physical therapist look to see if there's any low tone. Those evaluations are at no cost to the family. If the child is found eligible, all the meetings to develop the plan to talk about eligibility, there is no cost for those. And every child and family who is eligible is entitled to a service coordinator who serves as like their case manager. That's the person who's really going to help you walk the system, figure out the system, work with the physicians, work with the therapists in making sure that your child's needs are being met, identifying resources in the community. Those services are free at no cost to the family. Then what we do as just part of making sure that there is enough revenue to provide services to all of the children who need it, we look at a variety of funding sources to pay for therapy. So we might look at insurance, we might look at Medicaid, at TANF dollars, but we also look at families to help us. So the state has what's called a sliding fee scale. So it's based on the number of children or family members and their annual income. So like a family of four with an income of $50,000 a year would not pay anything. But that same family, if they made, say, $60,000 a year, might pay about $3 per hour of therapy or up to $48 a month, which would equal about 16 hours of therapy. And it doesn't have to. Therapy can be 45-minute sessions, and so it wouldn't be quite $3. Or it could be the full 60 minutes and then it is $3. And then it continues to go up. The more money you make, the more we do require parents to participate all the way up to and including the highest rate, which would be for people who are at about the $300,000 annual salary would be probably contributing about $88 an hour for therapy.
Which is still a value, quite frankly.
It's a wonderful, when you think about it, the therapist is coming into your mm-hmm. home. They're really working with you and your child in your home, outside, on your play equipment, using your stairs, using your high chair, so all the things that you need to help your child are right there in your home. And the therapist is working with those, showing you how to utilize what you have and how to make things work during your family's day, because everybody's day is a little bit different. Your routine is different from mine, and your routine with Max is probably different than my routine was with Michael. So, it's kind of individualized, and so it's so wonderful to have them in your home using your things and showing you how to get the most for your child's development.
Absolutely. we talked a little bit already about what the advantages of getting a child enrolled in First Steps are, so I won't touch on that. But I'm interested in knowing, I mean, I know this answer, but for our listeners who may not be aware, who is covered by First Steps?
Any family in the state of Indiana who has a child under the age of 3 whose child has a developmental delay that's fairly significant. And by fairly significant, we look at each of the developmental domains. So if a child has like a motor delay of what we would consider 25%, then they would qualify for early intervention services. They could also, a child who has a 20% delay in their language development and maybe in their adaptive skills, you know, their dressing skills, feeding skills, they would also qualify because we would consider a 20% delay significant. And then children who are born prematurely, children with Down syndrome, children who are hearing impaired or deaf, children who are visually impaired or blind, a diagnosis that we would consider obviously has risks for developmental delays would also benefit from First Steps and would be eligible for First Step services.
And then what happens, Bridget, when a child ages out of First Steps on their third birthday? Then what happens? Who carries the torch from there if they're in need of further services?
And you know what, that's one of the nice things about First Steps is we do what we call a transition plan. So as the child's getting closer to their third birthday, we start talking about getting ready for transition. And that could be a transition to the school corporation. That could be a transition to Head Start. That could be a transition to their neighborhood preschool. So if the child potentially could be eligible for the schools, we really strongly encourage the family to at least listen to what the schools have to offer, because many times, because we're, especially for a firstborn child, they're not familiar that the schools have a program for 3 to 5 year olds, which is wonderful. And the schools actually will send a representative to a transition meeting at the family's home to talk about what they can offer their child. And they'll do an evaluation to see if the child is eligible. And if they are, they'll sit down and they'll write a plan. That plan, instead of being an individual family service plan, is an education plan. So it's a little different from First Steps. Eligibility is a little different. Therapy is not delivered in the home, but it is delivered in preschool settings or in a school setting if the child's eligible. So we work really strongly with the schools. We have a committee that through First Steps that just kind of fosters that school First Step relationship, because so many of our children do continue to need services and we want to get them hooked up so that there is almost like a seamless transition. The child turns 3 and on the third birthday, especially if it's during the school year, they start school services. So there's no downtime for therapy. And for the children who have summer birthdays, we still work strongly with the schools and we actually try and get those children transitioned in the spring, though, and then we'll work with them on community services or resources that they might be able to use in the summertime until school starts up in the fall. But then they're ready to roll in the fall that first day of school.
So is this program that you're referencing through the schools, is this the one based out of Nooner or Madison Primary Center, or are they based out of different places?
They're based out of different places. So in South Bend, those might be your options. But anywhere in the state of Indiana, all school districts offer a 3 to 5 program for children who have special needs and who would qualify to need to continue to address their developmental needs.
So for a child, for a parent of a child who is over the age of 3 who wouldn't use First Steps, their point of contact would be the schools?
It would be their local school district, and then their local school district would refer them probably to their special education department, and that director would then work with them to get them into their 3 to 5 program.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you so much for explaining to us not only the process involved in first steps, but what it's all about and how critical it is to, if you suspect in any way that your child isn't making the milestones, to go ahead and just call to get that evaluation.
Most definitely. As we say, trust your instinct.
It's great information. We're so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.